Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Friends, welcome back to the St. Andrew's podcast. It's always such a joy to be here with you and listening in. We're so glad that you are with us today. I have again in studio with me today, Pastor D.A. Bennett. How are you today?
I am doing good, Pastor Stephanie. Mm-hmm. How are you doing today?
I'm just doing great.
Awesome. Are you having a good summer so far?
Oh, it has been a great summer. Way too fast. It always goes way too fast, but
right.
It has been wonderful. I know you have had an interesting summer so far, but it is a beautiful day today.
It is a good day. In fact, some of my experiences may help us with some understanding today.
I think that they will, which I think is a real blessing for all of us. And friends, if you've been joining us during this series, you know that we are doing our best to understand grace. And DA has been helping us to understand what grace is, that it is God doing something for us that God does not have to do for
right.
us. And we've talked about different experiences of the one grace that God pours out upon us, that His grace is so big that it goes before us to prepare a way for us, to draw us to Him, even before we ever knew we needed Him, which is such an incredible love in that grace. And that it leads us to what we truly need, which is a justifying grace that washes us clean of sins that we commit and makes us righteous and just as if we had never sinned. And then within that grace, God is so good to us to then draw us forward, to make us holy, to do that in an instant, but then to also do it over time, which is such a miracle, to make us holy and right before Him, and to give us the power and the strength to resist sin in our lives so that we can be like Him and live a life that is like Him.
It's really amazing when we think of grace, how, again, God uses something so common.
Yes.
And sets it apart for holy work, and that God looks at each person individually and has that understanding that you are mine, you belong to me, and I'm going to take you and I'm going to set you apart. And for some people, the great work God does in their lives is so obvious because of the transformation that occurs in their attitude and their personality, sometimes even their countenance and how they look.
Changes.
And other times, some people may think, well, gosh, you know, I've just always been kind of a good, nice person, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of change, and they can't explain, but God's doing something in my life that I cannot describe, but I certainly am glad God is doing it.
Yeah, exactly. You are so right about that, and the fact that He offers it freely to anyone who wants it, that nobody's exempt, no one is left out. Anybody who wants it, it is free to them. So that's really good news. So DA, what is something that we need to remember in thinking through these expressions or experiences of God's grace?
Right. I think the most important thing that I would want people to understand is there's only one type of grace.
Mm-hmm.
There are different experiences, different adjectives we use to describe it.
Right.
You can recall in the first podcast in this series, we discussed how salvation comes by God's grace, and we called that saving grace, that saving grace is a gift we receive by faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
This saving grace is God's pursuit of us before we're aware of it. And even after we give ourselves to Him, He continually seeks to make us holy. A lot of times when you talk about this, what people say is there's three types of grace or four types of grace. It's all one grace, but the way we talk about our experiences with it are different.
Yeah, and the thing I love about that is it really does show how incredible God is, because it shows how big His grace is. That it's not just one thing we can put in a box. It's so much bigger than that, which is exactly what we need as people. We need all of that, His whole grace. So this order of salvation, as John Wesley called it, covers the entirety of our lifetime, which, again, is amazing.
Right.
So today we want to discuss another part of it that is not coined with the word grace, which is interesting. Yeah. Today we want to talk about assurance, the assurance of salvation. So why is this an important part of our discipleship?
Let me ask you a question before I dive into that. Has there ever been a time, and I think I'm going to be surprised by your answer, whichever way it goes.
Either way.
Has there ever been a time in your life when you really wondered, am I a Christian? Mm-hmm. I mean, after you had made that commitment to Christ, was there ever a time when you thought,
you know, yes.
That surprises me.
Well, it's funny. I'm glad you asked it. It's interesting because there are moments I think we all come to where we say, is this all real? You know, is this all real?
Yeah, the continual whole kind of weighing.
Yes.
You know, is all this just a good way to, you know, feel good about ourselves?
Yeah. Yeah. And every time I have come to that wall, which I like to sort of think of it as a wall in my faith, I am very thankful as I look back on it, because every time I come to that wall and God knocks it down, then I'm a whole lot closer to Him than I was before.
Right.
You know?
Right. I know for myself, sometimes I find myself thinking, you know, I've been following Jesus for so long. Mm-hmm. And other people may look at me and go, he's been following Jesus for so long. He's really old. But I sometimes think someone who's followed Jesus as long as I have should probably be a lot more like Jesus than I am.
Oh.
And you begin, I think there's a deception that comes against believers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're not the person that Jesus wants you to be, and this is a charade in the game. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think our experiences are unique.
No.
My hope is that part of what happens as a result of this podcast is people can begin to have assurance of salvation.
Yeah, definitely.
So when I think of why is this important, one of the things I'm aware of is in the Old Testament, we read about how people would worry about falling out of favor with God whenever they were living sinfully. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever Job suddenly loses his property and his children and his house and he's covered with boils, the thing everybody's saying to him is, you got it wrong with God and this is what God is doing to you. And I wish I could say that we had all grown past that.
Right.
But sometimes we really think we're sowing and reaping, and so we're now reaping what we've sowed, and so that's just a struggle that we have.
Mm-hmm.
John Wesley, who came up with this whole kind of doctrinal pattern that we're following, he often wondered if he had fully received God's grace, or if I can say it differently, it was pretty common for Wesley to think that he was not a Christian.
Yeah.
Now, when I look back at his life, he's like one of the great giants of Christendom.
Yeah.
But Wesley often had this struggle.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, his own conversion experience, when we think of what we call his Aldersgate experience, it didn't happen till really later in life. He was, you know, much more of an adult then.
Mm-hmm.
And then toward the end of his life, he was writing a letter to his brother Charles, and John wrote that John was not a Christian, and he never was. I mean, he was 80 years old. He's done all these great things for God. And he's saying, Charles, I'm not a Christian, and I never was. And so though John develops this doctrine of assurance as part of this order of salvation, he actually struggled with this concept in his own life. I think it's something that many Christians probably still struggle with today.
Yeah.
And I would say I see this a lot, primarily and particularly among younger disciples.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean, you know, children and teenagers,
right,
but even adults who may be new to the faith and are younger disciples. People who question the never-ending and all-encompassing grace of God whenever they feel like they just can't escape their sin. They're like, you know, that's when I say, I've been following Jesus a long time. You probably need to find a better role model than me if you're looking for this. And so when we talk about the doctrine of assurance, to use some biblical language that we don't often use in the Methodist church, but we're not allergic to it, it's to say, if I am saved, if I have salvation, how can I know it? When I was growing up, my best friend was always very conscientious about his faith. He he was a scientist, and so he had the scientific mindset,
oh,
and kind of the challenges between science and faith were always very real to him.
Right.
And he was always searching for answers, and he was very sincere about his faith, wanted to make sure he was getting it right. Mm-hmm. And anytime he would go to a church, I mean, he lived in California for a year right out of college, teaching school out there. Mm-hmm. Anytime he'd go to church and there's an altar call given, he would really kind of grieve his own sinfulness.
Yeah.
And so every time the altar call is given to come, repent of your sin and give your life to Christ, he's going down and doing that because he really wants, he's struggling to know that his life really belongs to Christ.
Yeah.
And I just remember he told me once that, you know, an invitation was given and he went down to pray with the guy, and the guy looked at him and just said, "How many times have you done this? How many times have you come down to an altar to give your life to Christ?" And I think in that moment, the Holy Spirit was speaking to that minister at the altar to help him know you're given to Christ. What you lack is assurance of your salvation. And so he was really able to help Mark in that way, to really help him know life may not always be perfect. You may still struggle with sin. Mm-hmm. And we can read the New Testament how Paul struggled with sin. You preached on that recently about weakness in the flesh.
Right.
And so I think an important thing that God wants us to know is we can be assured of this gift of salvation that God has given us.
That's so true. Well, you know, the other thing I find interesting in light of your friend's story is that I think there's also people who have not had that, like, lightning bolt conversion experience.
Yeah, God knocked me off a horse on the road to Damascus, and I changed the course of history for everybody. Right. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, you think about how people sometimes question, I think, their salvation when they have not had that moment where they can say, well, this is my spiritual birthday, because some of us accepted Christ when we were really small and have always known him, or you know, that kind of thing. And I think either way, you can tend to struggle with the assurance of your salvation.
Right. My story is one where I never had a dramatic conversion. I was raised in the church. Mm-hmm. I believed in Jesus. When I was actually confronted with the reality that I have to make a choice, it was a no-brainer.
Right.
You know, and it's a idea that I was nurtured in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no different or no less a conversion experience than a person who suddenly turns from being the most wicked, vile person on the earth and is forgiven.
Right. Yeah, that's so, so true. So whenever we think of the concept of being certain of our salvation, we want to ground this in Scripture, because that's always a good thing to do. So is there a particular Scripture that sparked this teaching for Wesley, or maybe particular verses that we can look at that help to create this idea, and where in the Bible does it talk about this?
Absolutely. Those are great questions, and I should probably talk a while so people can get notes and write this down, although I guess I could just put pause and go get that. So in our previous podcast on understanding grace, when we talk about prevenient and justifying and those sanctifying experience, we looked in the book of Romans, and the book of Romans is such a great place. And at the start of chapter 8, this is, I think it's 8 verse 1. This is one of my favorite scriptures.
Yeah.
It says, "There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." There is no condemnation for those who have received this experience of grace where they're justified with Christ. And so Paul goes on to try to explain some of this, but toward the end of the chapter, or I mean toward the middle of the chapter, it goes on to read, and this is starting in verse 14 of chapter 8, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when God adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we're God's children." That's the end of that verse 16.
Yep.
And it's that whole thing that I think what Paul is saying is he's writing to people that are struggling with sin, and he's telling them, if you're in Christ, you're not condemned for this.
Yeah.
Christ is taking care of all this. And And to be assured of this, you're God's child. Mm-hmm. You don't just say, oh, God Almighty, who has created the universe and sits enthroned upon the heavens with the cherubim. Yeah, it's no, what do you call him? Father.
Father.
Mm-hmm. Dad. Daddy. Mm-hmm. And so God's Spirit reminds us that we are God's children. We can be sure God loves all people and continues to affirm mm-hmm. that we have been adopted into God's family, and that is good news. Yeah. And later in Romans 8, at the end of it, so at the first, it's there's no condemnation in the middle. Uh-huh. You're God's children. You're adopted uh-huh. by God. And at the end of chapter 8 is that creed we use so often yeah. in worship that says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, I also think of this in terms of my children. Mm-hmm. My children may make mistakes, mm-hmm. but I never stop loving them.
Yeah.
And God's love for people is certainly a lot greater than my love for my children.
That's so true. Yes, I know that feeling because our children are always loved. And it is pretty amazing that when we speak of how we experience grace, we talked about human relationships, you know, of dating and the wedding and the marriage
right.
when we were talking about prevenient, justifying,
right.
sanctifying grace. But now I like it. We're shifting a bit and talking about assurance in this sort of parent-child relationship.
Right, and hopefully that's not confusing to folks mm-hmm. to kind of shift illustrations. I really mean for it to be a helpful kind
yeah,
of analogy.
And I think it is hugely helpful. In fact, I think it's a lot of why God gives us those types of relationships in our lives, because they usually are a microcosm of how he loves us.
Right.
I mean, it is. It's
right. I mean, the best illustration of Christ's love for the church was a love between man
yes,
and woman.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, so good. So John Wesley struggled with this in his experience,
right.
this idea of assurance.
Right.
But he studied the scriptures to help everybody understand this. And so tell us a little more about why this was a struggle for Wesley. I'm curious about this. You know, his story, I'm sure, will help us.
Yeah, as a young man, Wesley was ordained to lecture at Oxford. And he left and he went back and he worked with his dad in a church, and that didn't work out. So he went back to Oxford mm-hmm. and he was just struggling to kind of mm-hmm. find this vibrancy of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't going well for him. And so he did what all young, adventurous young ministers of the gospel
yes.
would do. He left England to be a missionary mm-hmm. in the colony of Georgia. And while they were crossing the Atlantic, the ship that he was in was caught in this terrible storm. I mean, I'm thinking Jonah must have been on the ship and they need to throw him off to get the storm
yeah.
to keep from killing everybody kind
right.
of thing. And Wesley thought he was going to die. Mm. And not having assurance of his salvation, he was terrified.
Oh, gosh.
He was,
yeah.
you know, just cowering under his bunk, crying out for God to do something mm. because he knew the depth of his sin. And
yeah.
so he was afraid. He didn't really trust mm. God's grace for his salvation. Instead, he was trusting his own goodness.
Mm.
And he knew he wasn't good enough. He was trusting his
yeah.
own works, and he knew that wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
And most of us would have to confess, if salvation were up to our level of goodness
mm-hmm.
or the number of good things we did,
mm-hmm.
then we're toast.
<Yeah.
laughs> You know,
that's
precisely why we need grace.
Yeah.
And so on that ship, while Wesley is cowering under his bunk, there's actually another group of Christians on there. Now, he did not know that, but he hears them singing.
Yeah.
And he thought to himself, this is such a bad storm. The sailors know we're going to die. And so they've broken into the rum and they're going to go out drunk.
Right.
That is what Wesley thought.
Oh,
but as
yeah.
he listened, he heard that what they were singing were not songs of revelry. They were
yeah.
songs of praise.
Mm.
It was a group of Christians that was, they were having church.
Yeah.
they were having church.
That's the way to go.
And so he knew that they had a vibrancy of
mm.
faith
mm-hmm.
that gave them assurance that he did not have.
Yeah, wow.
And mm. so often when people know the good that we should do, but we do not do it,
mm-hmm.
I think we feel ashamed of ourselves.
Yeah.
And consequently, when we think that God must be ashamed of us too, and if God is ashamed of us,
mm.
a logical outcome would then be that, you know, we have chosen to forfeit
yeah.
our salvation.
Yeah.
Yet we should hear this clearly.
Mm.
You know, push, pause, go get the pencil so you
right.
can write this down.
Right, this one's important.
Our assurance of salvation is not about who we are.
Mm.
Our assurance of salvation is about who God is. Mm-hmm. And that is grace. Even though it doesn't use the word grace, uh-huh. that is grace. Uh-huh. The indwelling of the Spirit in our lives mm-hmm. is something that believers grow more confident in.
Yes.
As we grow in relationship to Christ, yeah. we're fully confident that God indeed forgives all our sin.
Mm, that is remarkable. Wow, that is so good. You know, so I think it's interesting as we think about this idea of who God is, because he is... It's interesting that we know he doesn't ever change. He is
right.
the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
And the fact that that is his nature means that he is not going to change the way he does things.
It's right.
The requirements or whatever are not going to change from day to day. And that is one of the things I love about him. And so as we get closer to him and he offers us this assurance, it's so important, I think, that we just recognize, hey, he's not going to change. He's not going to change on us.
One of the things that gives me great hope and even helps with assurance mm-hmm. is I'm going to run out of sin before God runs out of the ability to forgive my sin.
Yeah, that's good. I like
you know,
that. Yes.
Because it's about who God is more than it is about
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it is so true. So tell me just as before we close here.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit more about this idea of assurance of grace, but also, you know, there's other denominations other than the United Methodist Church that see this whole thing about
right.
salvation slightly differently. So just
right.
if you would just tell us as Methodists
mm-hmm.
where we stand on that compared to some other denominations.
I think one of the things that we would say, and you know, whether we're right or they're right, that's not what we're
no.
after here.
Uh-uh.
But we believe that salvation is a process.
Mm-hmm.
Again, from birth to death, God is pursuing that relationship.
Yeah.
And once God has our commitment to it, then God is doing this work in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that we could say it was a straight line, but it's not.
No.
Sometimes my life is up. Sometimes my life is down. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm marching boldly forward, and other times
yeah.
I feel like I'm in a dramatic retreat.
Yeah.
And Wesley's thought there did come a point where if people, as a decision of their own will, could receive the grace of Christ
mm-hmm.
that justifies them with God.
Yeah.
Wesley would also say that Scripture's clear that there are people who can, as a reality of their own will, make a decision then to reject that which
yeah.
they have accepted. If we go back to the human relationship
mm-hmm.
things, it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think when couples get married and they say I do, they really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes things happen
yeah.
and the marriage doesn't last.
Mm-hmm.
And so as United Methodists, I think while we don't really like to talk about that, because what we want is for people to grow and mature
yeah.
in relationship with Christ through these experiences
yeah.
of God's Spirit and God's grace.
Yeah, exactly. It's so good because of who he is. Well, I am so glad that we have enjoyed these last four episodes of Understanding Grace. And friends, I hope if you haven't had a chance to listen to the other episodes that you will go back and listen to those on prevenient grace and justifying grace and sanctifying grace, and tell your friends about the podcast. And I hope that you'll let us know how these podcasts are affecting your life, because we are in prayer that they will be a blessing to you and help you as you grow in relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, we're hoping that you will stay connected to God during this summertime and not take a summer from him, because we want to stay connected with him always. And so we are here for you at St. Andrews. We would love to have you on site with us any Sunday morning, 8:15, 9:30, or 10:50. We have a great group of people here, a great family that loves to welcome folks. So if you've not yet found your place in a church, then we hope that you will come to St. Andrews. Also, you can find us online. We are live on Facebook Live and YouTube Live every Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:50 as well. DA, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, it's been a pleasure.
Great to have you here during the series. And friends, we'll look forward to seeing you next time. I hope you'll be blessed.